Hey, I want to start by having a little fun this morning. If you have your phone with you, and how many of you have an old picture of yourself on your phone? Like maybe for one reason or another, going back years ago, where you know that you have, it's obvious you have changed. Anybody? You got a picture on your phone, all right? Somewhere. It might take you a minute to find it, all right? Okay, here's what I want you to do. You've got permission to get your phones out right now, okay? And find that picture. A picture of you that you can show your neighbor with a smile on your face, okay? And to show that you've obviously changed from then until now, all right? Go ahead and do that. If you're watching online, you can do that as well, wherever you're watching, over in Building B, and kind of, you can post that on the feed. As a matter of fact, I'd love to go back through and look at those as well. Go ahead and find that picture and show it to your neighbor. And just in case you don't, I thought, okay, I've got another idea. Let's see if you can play a little game with me, all right? Richard, that you guys are having too much fun up here. Hey, on the screen are going to be some pictures. I want to say now and then kind of, or then and now kind of pictures, but these are some people you might know from speaking on the stage, from preaching with us, they're on staff, whatever. Just five of them, but I want to take 3 to 5 seconds to see if you can figure out who is in these pictures, all right? Who do y'all think that is? Pretty good. Kara, you can stand up. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to embarrass you. Actually, that's Jeff Jacobs, yep, our executive minister. Who knows who this is? Josh McGrew, yes, our discipleship minister. And for a bonus, on the right side of that picture, or left side of that picture, is the one and only Jason Pond, who's sitting right over here. Jason, your hair is gone. Where'd it go? That's nice outfit, by the way. Yeah, anybody know who this is? Yeah, nice hops there, Mr. Freeman, yes. Getting up on the rim. Chris is going to be preaching next week. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say. How about this one?
That has got to be
Jesse Diaz. Yes. Our worship leader, our worship director today, back in the day. Yep. Rocking and rolling. Who knows who this is? A little bit trickier. Yeah, that's this guy. That is a 7th grade version of myself with my dad, who thankfully he's not here to give me a spanking for that picture, showing the Jack Nicholson look there. But yeah, that's me back in 7th grade. Look, we've all changed physically, haven't we? I mean, how many of you are the same person physically today that you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, whatever, 5 years ago? No, we're not. And we expect that. We change physically. It's pretty cool. You have a picture of yourself then. You have a picture of yourself now. But we're in church this morning. So I've got to ask you a question. How many of you have changed or been changed spiritually by Jesus? You're not the same person you were then today. How many of y'all have been changed by Jesus today? Say amen with me. Amen. Amen. All right, if that's true for you, say it again. Amen. 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 Look, you are changed. You're not the same person yesterday that you are today. Hopefully for the stronger. Hopefully for the better. We're going to talk about what it means to be changed today in week number 3 of our On Mission series. We've been going through the great mission of Jesus as given to us, his church, as individual Christians and as a body, this mission statement given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We call it the Great Commission or the Great Mission of Christ, and you've been challenged to memorize it. And has anybody been making some progress there? All right, y'all been doing all right on that. Good, good. Hopefully you'll be internalizing the mission of Christ. And we've committed to, as a family, to go ahead and say this together each week. For the next couple weeks in our series. So let's go ahead and stand together and say Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are the words of Jesus, his great, great mission for us. All right, ready, set, go. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything." Keep going. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did it again. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Give yourselves a hand. Don't give me a hand. Give yourselves a hand. Go ahead and have a seat. Oh, man. It's funny how that happens. This is the mission of every disciple. It's the mission of us as a church. It's what Jesus gave us to do, to go and to make more disciples. So, as we've talked about the last couple weeks, if we're going to make disciples, we need to know what a disciple is. What is a disciple? And we've gone back to Matthew chapter 4, to the beginning when Jesus called his first disciples for a definition of that disciple. Matthew 4:19, Jesus calls these men. He says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in this calling, we can find the definition of a disciple, a follower of Christ. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Here it is, a disciple, someone who follows Jesus. Come follow me. Is someone who is changed by Jesus, being changed by Jesus. He says, "I will make you into something." And a disciple is someone who is on mission for Jesus. "I will make you into fishers of men." Following Jesus, changed by Jesus, on mission for Jesus. You know, one of the men that Jesus would call that day was a fisherman. His name was Simon. And Simon would, in fact, learn to follow Jesus and to trust Jesus. We talked about this last week, trusting Jesus. He would not only follow and trust Jesus, but then he would be changed by Jesus and be made into a fisher of men. Simon, or as we know him today, Peter, was an example of what it means to truly be on mission for Jesus. And he's a great example for us today. So I want to take a few minutes to just kind of look deeper into his life and see how, like Peter, we can also be literally changed by Jesus, our life. And I'm not just talking about our circumstances, but from the inside out, because our circumstances might not change. They might get better, they might get worse. But look, who we are inside can literally be changed by the living God. So as you look back at Peter's story, we're going to see his life that just totally renovated and changed for the good by Jesus. And it was quite a process. If you said amen just a few minutes ago, all right, you're going to agree with me on this. It's a process, isn't it? Being changed by Jesus is like the daily grind. It's like getting in. It is a process. Like, we are all projects, you know, kind of in the making. And Peter's process began by following Jesus. We've talked about that. And the truth is, you can't follow Jesus and not be changed by Jesus, the Son of the living God. When you follow him, when you read his words and do what he said, your life is going to change. And if you call yourself a Christian or a Christ follower, and your life has not been changed or is not changing, if you're the same person today you were yesterday, then there's a possibility that you're not following Jesus at all. Jesus is in the life-changing business. And when we look at our lives, we really should be able to look over our shoulder at the picture of who we used to be and the picture of who we are today and see how Jesus has changed us. See a different picture today than who we used to be. But Peter, you know, his life, it didn't change overnight. In fact, even after 3 years with Jesus, it didn't seem to change very much. We see clearly in the Bible, after 3 years, Peter's still doing things that you would think after 3 years with the Lord, he wouldn't be doing. But, as we look at his life, the long view of his life, we see clearly in the Bible that the man that Peter would become, the man that we read about later in the New Testament in the book of Acts, later when we read his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, we see a changed man. We see a man who is clearly not the same person that he was back in Matthew 4 when Jesus first called him to follow. But it was a process. A process. You remember Peter was just a normal, everyday Jewish fisherman. Remember something about his personality. He was brash. He was outspoken. He was impulsive. We talked a little about that impulsiveness last week when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. Sometimes he was violent, irrational. But we look at Peter's life and we see, and there's times when Peter was cursing, when his mouth got ahead. We see when Peter was fighting, cutting off the ears of people with his sword. That was Peter, bragging, prideful sometimes.
There's even a story in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, where Peter takes Jesus aside and corrects him. It's like, hey, come here, Jesus. I got something I got to tell you, all right? Like, he is correcting God in the flesh. Listen to what happens. He says, Jesus says to Peter, after Peter takes him aside to correct him and says, get to Peter. Now, Jesus says these words, get behind me, Satan. Like, who wants to be called Satan by Jesus? No, I mean, clearly in trouble here, okay? And look what Jesus says, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So yeah, Peter, dude wasn't perfect. He had his glitches. But while Peter wasn't perfect, y'all, Jesus is perfect. And Jesus is in the process of making us into something. And as Peter lived for Jesus, the Lord changed him from the inside out. That's why we see in the book of Acts, we see Peter the preacher. We see Peter the leader, Peter the healer, the jailbreaker, the dream maker. Later we see Peter the writer, the encourager, the apostle, Peter. Did his personality change? Yeah, some. His personality, we see some things about him that were different. Did his family history change? No. He still had the same past, same mom, same wife. Peter, his family history. Did his career change? What do you think? Sort of. Still a fisherman at heart. Did his habits change? Mostly. Yeah, we see a lot of. Did his life change? Did Peter's life and his legacy change as a result of Jesus' work in his life? Yes. You better believe it. And not only that, not only was Peter changed, but his life was changed in a way that the world around him was changed by Christ. In fact, if we look around this room 2,000 years later, we see that because of the work that Jesus did in him, we're still talking about him today, still able to follow his example. Yes, Peter is changed. And not just the things that he does, and not just the way that he did life, but the person that he became. For example, look at his humility. Again, this person was, Peter was prideful, and we'd find him bragging. In Acts chapter 3, here's a great example. He heals a lame man. Heals a lame man and refuses to take credit, any credit at all. He gets all the glory to God right then and right there. He becomes a servant leader, and not just to Jews, but to Gentiles alike. That, my friends, is a remarkable act of humility, especially in that day and age. In the book of Acts, we see Peter becoming this humble man of prayer. In his letters, if we read 1 and 2 Peter, we see the words of a spirit-led man who was grown into a man of love and a man of hope and a man of wisdom and humility. In fact, I want you to go back this week and turn into your, just really deep into the New Testament, just kind of turn and look at the letter of 1 Peter this week. It's a very short book. Take some time this week and read through 1 Peter and you will see the man that Peter became, and by the way, you'll be encouraged in great ways. 1 Peter. So what happened to him? What happened to Peter? What caused him to change? What was the Peter process? What can we learn from it? Well, I want to point out just some things that I noticed that have really related to me, and I think can relate to you too as we look at the life of Peter and see the process that he went through. Number one is he was renamed by Jesus. He was given a new name. You remember what Peter's name was originally? Anybody? Simon? Simon, son of John. Yes. What did Jesus do? John 1:42 tells us that when Jesus calls Peter to come and follow him, that he changes his name. He changes it to Cephas in the Aramaic, which is translated Petros in the Greek, which in English means Peter. And you know what Peter means? The rock. It means the rock. He was given a new name. So I got to ask you this morning, can you smell what the rock is? That's for you, Kara.
Okay, sorry about the pop culture reference there, but yes, he's called the Rock, and yeah, he wasn't cooked yet. Peter was half-baked. I mean, he was like not rock solid. In fact, as we look at his life, we see that Peter made some really big mistakes in the process. In fact, perhaps his most regretful one was the time that he denied knowing Jesus at all. Three times. Three times he denied that he even knew who Jesus was. He renounces Jesus. Renounces him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell this story. And Jesus had predicted it was going to happen. In fact, in John 13, 37 through 38, there's a conversation that Peter and Jesus are having together. And Peter, they're engaged, and it gets pretty passionate. And Peter tells Jesus that he would die for him, that he would lay down his life for Jesus. And Jesus is like, really? It's right there. Verse 38. Would you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, cock-a-doodle-doo, you will disown me three times. And of course, Jesus was right. Five chapters later, we read the story. Jesus has been arrested. In John chapter 18, verses 15 through 27, Simon Peter and another disciple are following Jesus around. And because the other disciple was known to the high priest, he goes in with Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. Meanwhile, Peter's waiting outside the door. And then the disciple, we know it's John, he comes back outside to get Peter, and he asks a servant girl to bring Peter in. And the servant girl asks Peter a question. One, you aren't one of this man's disciples, are you? Talking about Jesus. Peter replies, I am not. I am not. Verse 18, it was cold, and the servants and the officials, they stood outside around a fire that was made to keep them warm, and Peter was standing around them also warming himself. Now, meanwhile, Jesus is being held on trial, is being questioned by the high priest during this time. And we skip down to verse 25, that Peter's still outside standing around this fire, warming himself. The servants, the officials ask him, you aren't one of his disciples, are you? You're not one of his disciples too, are you? Peter, second time, not me. I am not. And then verse 26, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, he knew Peter was one of his disciples, challenges him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? And again, and the Greek is, Peter's emotion is escalating now. In fact, we have reason to believe Peter was getting angry at this question. Like he was like, no, heck no, I don't know him. Like that kind of response by Peter, Peter denies it a third time. And at that moment, cock-a-doodle-doo, the rooster crows. Three times. Peter's lowest moment had come. And to make it worse, Jesus would soon be tortured and crucified. Y'all need to know Peter and Jesus' relationship. They're like best friends. 3 years. Peter loved Jesus. Jesus loved Peter. Peter had called Christ the Son of the living God. Would die for you. The best of friends. And here he was, turning his back on Jesus, renouncing him, denying, disowning him. But the story doesn't end there, does it? The story doesn't end there. Do you know what happened? You do if you sang this song just a little while ago.
something happened. The resurrection of Jesus happened. The resurrection of Jesus happened, and it changed everything. Everything. See, Jesus did die. Jesus did die, and after 3 days, he rose from the grave. You see, Peter, his friend Peter, saw the man that lived the perfect life. He knew Jesus 3 years, followed this man around, watched him live a perfect life in front of him as God in the flesh, and then he saw him brutally, publicly crucified before his eyes, and now he was alive again before his eyes. Peter saw the living God for himself, and that, my friends, will change a man. It will change everything. The resurrection of Jesus changed. It should change everything. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he appeared to Peter. In fact, he appeared to many other people as well. The resurrection's written about in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of John, 3 chapters after Peter denied Jesus 3 different times, Jesus, it says, appeared to his disciples 3 times. John 21, verse 14, listen to what John writes. It says, this was now the 3rd time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's amazing. The resurrection. And as a result, Peter repents and is restored by Jesus. It's part of the process. Chapter 21, after this great fishing story. It's a great fishing story. It actually mirrors the story told in Matthew chapter 4. There's even a kind of jump off the boat moment for Peter. It's all right there. It's kind of cool how it kind of bookends the whole thing. But John chapter 21, they've gone fishing. Jesus says, you're not catching anything. Throw your nets over. They catch 153 fish. You fishermen will appreciate this, that they wrote down the number of fish. All these fish, Jesus goes ahead of them. He cooks breakfast on the shore. He's going to wait for his disciples. They show up on the beach. They have breakfast together, fresh fish on the morning, on the beach. Anything better than that? That's where we pick up the story in verse 15. John 21, 15 through 19. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, I want you to catch this. This is a one-on-one moment with Peter. You know his best friend that had denied him? Pulls him aside and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, we don't know what these are. We don't know if he's talking about the disciples. You know, do you love me more than these guys? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than, you know, your former life, your job? But Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And Jesus uses this word agape here. It's a God-like love. It's huge. It's like unconditional, life-giving, sacrificial love. Like, do you love me like God loves me? And Peter, I don't know if he can get his head around it. He answers him this way. He says, Lord, calls him Lord, you know that I love you. And he uses a different word for love here. Now, I don't want to overteach this, but he's using the word phileo, which is brotherly love. So do you love me like God? And Peter's like, I love you like a brother. And we might be tempted to think that this is, you know, like a less than kind of love. But you got to remember, this was one of his best friends that he had just turned his back on. I think Peter is saying, brother, I love you. Like, I know I just turned my back on you. I know that you don't think I'm not even like a friend, like a brother. And Jesus responds this way, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Jesus, the good shepherd, he had taught about this many, many times. The disciples would have known exactly what he was talking about when Jesus said lambs. He's talking about his people, his followers. And he gets the ball rolling with Peter. Feed my lambs, my sheep. Verse 16, again. Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Same word, agape. And Peter answers, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And verse 17, the third time, he says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time Jesus changes the word to phileo. Do you love me like a brother? This It's brotherly love, it's friendship. The reason I think this was such an emotional moment for Peter, it says here Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" I think one reason this is such an emotional moment for Peter is because to turn your back on a friend, to turn your back on a brother, and then have the opportunity to say, "You know I love you. You know I mean this." And I also like how Jesus, remember when I mentioned earlier how Jesus, when he said, "I will lay down my life for you, Jesus, like I will die for you." And Jesus said, "Really?" Notice he doesn't say that here. "Do you love me? Really? No." You know how beautiful this is? Jesus is restoring Peter because of his heart of repentance. And it hurt, I think, because of the godly sorrow in Peter's life. Just, he knew. Jesus was asking him this third time, "Do you love me?" I think Peter knows exactly what's going on here. He might have been questioning his love, but I think Jesus is affirming his love, affirming his friendship. And Peter is sorry for the things he's done, and I believe he is repenting. Three denials after three, I mean, followed by three affirmations of his love. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord. Lord, you know all things. You know me inside. You know all things. You know that I love you. I really mean this. I am a changed man." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Care for my people. Protect them. Shepherd them. Feed them." In verse 19, Jesus goes on and explains the kind of death which Peter will glorify God. And he says to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." You've noticed, just like I have, that Jesus asks three times if Peter loves him, to match the three times that Peter had denied Jesus. Peter is restoring him. Peter is reinstating him. He knows his heart. "Lord, you know all things." He knows there is a heart of repentance here. And Jesus is calling him back. Yes, Peter had failed. Yes, he had renounced Jesus. But Jesus is giving him a chance to come back to him, because that's what Jesus always does. Gives him a chance to come back, to affirm his love for you. "Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And yes, I will follow you like never before. Feed my sheep. Follow me." Peter is literally being repurposed now by Jesus. Verse 17 through 19, repurposed. Now that word is, you know, that it's pretty popular today. I mean, you know, that the whole idea of, you know, recycling stuff that's been, you know, kind of trash. And now it's, you know, I know in our house, it's a pretty popular thing to do. Like, you'll put that old dresser or that, you know, nightstand on the curb. All right, it's about to go out to the garbage. Right? You know what I'm talking about? How in the world does that nightstand get back in my house? Sanded down, painted white, handles put on it, and now it's in my bedroom. My wife's very creative, and she likes to repurpose things. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I think about recycling, man. You can taking plastic bottles and tin cans and stuff and, you know, and putting them in a recycling bin, and then they turn into a Tesla. I mean, repurposed. This was Peter. I believe Peter, man, he was like, this was a garbage moment for him. Like, I'm on the curb. He was down. He was hiding. He felt like a failure. But then the resurrection happened, and he repented, and he was restored by Jesus, and he was repurposed by Jesus. Did you see Jesus' challenging words here? He says, "Feed my sheep." I'm giving you a new purpose. Follow me. Follow me in a new way. Peter got a new purpose. You see, with those words, "Feed my sheep and follow me," Jesus calls Peter to step out of his greatest failure and into his greatest future. Don't miss that this morning. That's what happened when Jesus gets a hold of him and can get a hold of us. He will help us to step out of our greatest failure and into our greatest future. He tells Peter, "Feed my sheep, my people, shepherd them, care for them, lead them, protect them." A new purpose, y'all. Peter, the leader, He would be repurposed to lead and care for the people who would be on the greatest mission in all of history, the great mission of Jesus from this time forward. And he is released to do that. Released, repurposed and released on mission for Jesus. That's what Peter was made for. That's what he was saved for. That's what he was called to. That's what he followed for. That's what he was changed for. Remember, I will make you fishers of men. I am making you into something. And Peter is made and released on the great mission of Jesus, and then he is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God himself living inside of him to carry out that mission. We see it all through the book of Acts. I'm looking so forward to the rest of this series. We're going to see some of the things Peter did as he lived out the mission, Acts 1 through 15, and we see how he was changed because all of history, people for all of eternity were changed as Peter and these 12 disciples released. They were released on mission into their world. And we are living proof of that. That's the Peter process. That's what happened in his life. That's the example that he gives us, a life changed by Jesus then, and a process that if we look very carefully, we can see in our own lives too. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning, and that is not the Peter process, but what is your process for change, to let Jesus change you? For me, it's the Joe process. As I look back over my life, I see these things. Even today, yesterday, tomorrow, you know, we can be sure. What's your process? God wants to change our lives. And he wants to do it from the inside out. This isn't about changing your circumstances. This isn't about keeping you necessarily healthy or making you successful or improving your budget. Those things can change. This is an internal thing. Because God won't always change our circumstances, but God will change us in our circumstances and through our circumstances. That's what he did with Peter. It's what he can do for you and I. It happens by realizing that we have been renamed. If you are a follower of Jesus today, you have a new identity. It might not be the rock, but you have a new identity. You are a child of God. If you call yourself a Christian, you have a new name, the name of Christ. You are a saint. You are saved. You are redeemed. You are beloved. You are a new creation, a son and daughter of the King. You need to know this and own this and walk in this and live in this today. God calls you his own. You have been renamed. Yes, you're going to renounce him. You're going to deny him. I don't have to ask you this morning if you've ever turned your back on Jesus. Because I know I have. And I'm sorry for that. Because I really do love him, and I know you do too. But it's in those moments when we have a choice to make. Are we going to look at the computer screen right now and look at the stuff on our TV? Are we going to turn our back on Jesus to look at that? We can follow the crowd. We can follow the culture. We can follow. But to do that, we're going to have to turn our back on. We've been there, haven't we? We've renounced him. Maybe you've never said, you've denied him like Peter did that day, but we have turned our back on Christ. We're going to fail. We're going to fall short. And sometimes, frankly, we're going to feel like we need to be put out on a curb, aren't we? But we can be changed. We can be restored. Even in that moment where we feel like we have turned our back on Christ, we don't have to stay there. We don't stay there for a minute. We get back up and we realize that when we turn our lives back to God, when we turn our lives back to him, when we turn our lives and we start heading towards God, we turn our backs on the things of this world, not the things of men, but the things of God. We turn our eyes to him, then we can, our greatest failure can indeed become our greatest future. It can happen. You know why it can happen? It can happen because the resurrection happened. It's not by our power, not by our strength, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave can rise you up out of the ashes and change you from the inside out. The resurrection of Jesus, we are doomed without it. Not just for today, but for eternity. But Jesus has risen. He has risen from the grave, and there is proof of that truth. You can know this today. You can bet your life on this today. We can live and follow a Savior that died for our sins, but then rose so that we can have life. Today and forever. we realize that and we understand that, then we repent and we turn away from our old lives. We turn around from going the wrong direction and from denying Jesus, and we turn to God and we go the right way. We turn towards him, and we can do that. And we can do that on a day-by-day basis, whether you've been following Jesus for years and you find yourself in a changeable moment. Change. Give it to him. Or maybe today you've never made that choice. You've never said, you know what, I'm done with my old life. I need to give my life to him once and for all and forever. Today can be that day to come back to the God who lived and died and rose again for you. And you can be restored. You need to know God loves you today. He loves me. He loves us so much. And we begin to realize that and own it and internalize it. And we give that love back to him. I love you. I love you, Lord. You know all things. You know I love you. It will start to change your life because you can't love somebody, not follow him, not live by him, not be changed by him. If you've never decided to give your life to Jesus today, I hope that you'll know he loves you and he wants you to be his. You can be saved. You can be restored. You can be made new. And new life happens when we confess and we understand that love and we confess that love to him. We say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we repent. We turn to him from our old ways and we are baptized into Christ. Like Romans 6 says, just baptized into his death so that we can rise. Just like he rose from the dead, we can rise again and be restored in Christ to live a new life for him. And we are repurposed when we do that in Christ. Every single one of us gets a new purpose, a new reason for living, a life-changing reason for living. Feed my sheep. Serve people. Love people. Protect them. Help them. Life change happens when we literally stop living for ourselves and start living for Jesus and living for others. We are released on mission for Jesus. I will make you fishers of men. Someone's here today saying, I can't. Maybe you can't, but Jesus can. He'll release you into the mission of Jesus. He'll do his part if we do our part. This is what we are saved for. This is what we are changed for. This is what we are released to do. So many of us think that, you know, we want Jesus to come and to change us so that, you know, we can be successful in life. We identify with our career. We identify with being a parent or maybe a cancer victim or a widow or whatever your identity or whatever you... Look, Jesus is going to use that circumstance and use that situation on mission for him. And if you're not going to use that situation, your talents, your abilities, your testimony for him, why in the world would he change your circumstances? But we commit to be released for him. I'm getting to next week's message. I can't do that. Look, we are changed for the mission of Jesus. And by the grace of God, we can. And then when we do, when we start to understand that, then our lives will change. Our community will change. Our world will change. Does anybody know our world needs to be changed today? You know, it does. And the only way our world's going to be changed is if he starts right here, in my life and in your life, because that happens one life at a time. He changes us from the inside out and then sends us out into a world that needs to know and to be changed by the hope of Jesus. And that's what we're here to do, to bring that hope of Jesus to the whole world, to all people. And we can and we will by his power as changed disciples. We need him to change us from the inside out, and it begins with us. It begins with us taking some next steps. Steps of faith, yes, but steps that say, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. So please, I pray and I beg, just like I'm praying and begging for me, that you will give the Holy Spirit permission to change your life today. Whatever he wants to do. That when you read the words of Scripture, it'll come alive in your life, and you will begin to live that out. As you read through 1 Peter this week, maybe take one thing, two things, and just pray about it. Write it down and start allowing God to work through the power of his word in your life. Study it. Take it seriously. And things will begin to change as you live it out. Find a place to serve, to feed the sheep, to give, to teach, to love. Your life will change. Join a small group. Get involved with other people to hold you accountable to the changes you know God will make through you. these next steps. In fact, if we can help you with that, if you're online, you can go onto our website right now. You can click on some of those tabs to the next steps. You can go out to the next step station, look in your bulletin today. And I promise you, there are some tools and resources and opportunities for you to allow God to begin to work and change your life as he changes you. So I want you to picture yourself today. Picture. Got a picture of yourself right now? Spiritually. How will that person be changed by Jesus tomorrow? Next week? Lord willing, and we live next year. We really want things to change next year, don't we? I've heard it over and over again. Maybe start looking forward to next year and start looking forward to right now and seeing what God wants to change in you and in me right now. What's going to be different in us tomorrow than today? See, one thing's for sure. God will do his part if we do ours. You're about to meet a man as we have communion together that is living proof of this. My friend Dan Brown, man, if you know his story, you know Dan has been changed by Jesus. Nothing to do, but because of Jesus, he's been changed. He's a different person. In fact, if you know his story, you know that God has taken his greatest failures, and there have been some great failures, and has turned it into his greatest future. One of them sitting right next to him right now, his wife. The things that Dan's been able to, look, this is possible. This is what God does. This is who Jesus is. The life-changing power of Christ. As he works in Dan's life and works in my life and works in your life. And some of you all know this is true, as sure as you're sitting here. And I pray that as we get ready to sing this song, as we begin to say death was arrested and new life did begin, as we testify to the resurrection of Jesus and the life-changing power of Christ, that we'll know it's true and we'll leave this place ready to do whatever it takes for us to be changed by Jesus. Let him use us for whatever he would. Yeah, we're renamed. Yeah, we're restored. Yeah, we're repurposed. Let's go ahead and stand and have a word with God and pray to him. And God, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. God, I pray that as we're released today, as we sing this song, as we meet around your table, as we want to live our lives for you, that you would come stronger than ever from inside of us, God, and just change whatever you want to change. Clean house, God, whatever it is, take it, it's yours, and change us. And God, I pray that as we, as your followers, are changed, that you will begin to change the lives around us, our homes. God, I pray a blessing on the homes that are represented in this place today, God. You will do a mighty work in us and through us, in our homes, in our communities, our neighborhood, and even in this world. You are a life-changing God. We know that you love us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Thank you for rising from the dead so that we can rise with a new life in Christ. God, if there's someone here today that is kind of figuring this out, that wants to know more about Jesus, God, I pray that they would come today and they would talk to someone on our prayer team, one of our leaders. God, we would love to share with them the life-changing power of Jesus. And God, I pray that decision would be made today. We do love you, God. Thank you for loving us first. You know us, Lord. Know our words are true. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and we sing. Amen.